This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, July 30th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. USDA makes insurance option more attractive. Producers won't pay as much to comply with salmonella framework, USDA says, and senators want heat dome definition. Schumer tees up vote on tax bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York is teeing up a vote on a House-passed tax bill that would expand valuable expensing provisions used by farmers. The bill's designed to serve as a bridge to next year's scheduled expiration of a number of provisions in the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. But key Senate Republicans have argued for delaying all tax issues to next year. Why it matters to ag? Well, the House bill would restore 100% bonus depreciation through 2025 and expand the existing Section 179 expensing allowance. Schumer filed cloture on the bill last night. USDA sweetens buy-up insurance option. USDA is adding some enhancements to buy-up crop insurance even as the farm bill remains stalled on Capitol Hill. The risk management agency is increasing the premium subsidy rate for the enhanced coverage option to 65%. The premium subsidy for ECO revenue coverage is currently 44%. Why it matters? Well, bolstering area-based insurance products like ECO and the supplemental coverage option should be, in theory, reduce the demand for ad hoc disaster assistance. Producers can cover up to 86% of expected area revenue with SCO, which also has a premium subsidy of 65%. With ECO, they can insure up to 95% of the area revenue or yield. ECO also is being made available for several specialty crops, including almonds in 2025 and citrus in 2026. Now keep in mind, the House Ag Committee's farm bill would boost the SCO premium subsidy to 80% and raise the top coverage level to 90%. Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan has also proposed increasing both the SCO subsidy and coverage level. USDA, salmonella plan have low-cost impact for small producers. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service has released a long-anticipated plan to classify certain poultry products as adulterated if salmonella levels are at or above 10 colony-forming units, or CFU. The framework applies to poultry products at the slaughter and processing level, like raw chicken carcasses, chicken parts, ground chicken, and ground turkey. Under the agency proposal, any of these products with salmonella levels above 10 CFU would not be able to enter the market or could be recalled. Additionally, any detectable level of certain stereotypes of public health significance would make the product adulterated. Consumer protection groups are applauding the proposal as a step toward reducing salmonella-related illnesses, but the National Chicken Council says the proposed rules could increase the cost of chicken for consumers. In the proposal, FSIS says the regulations won't have a significant economic impact on a substantial number of small processors in the U.S. FSIS estimates the cost for low and very low volume establishments complying with the proposal as small at about $1,500 annually on average to meet the proposed final product standards. You can read more about USDA's proposed salmonella framework in our article at www.agripulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients. Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. More time to comment on PNS competition proposal. U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agriculture Marketing Service is giving the public another 15 days to comment on a proposed new competition rule, pushing the comment deadline from August 27th to September 11th. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says that's not enough additional time. Cattle markets are immensely complicated, and USDA is planning to make sweeping changes to those markets with only 75 days of public input, NCBA Senior Director of Government Affairs Tanner Bamer says. She says the extension is, quote, not nearly enough time to properly solicit public comment and review a rule that will have such an overarching impact on the cattle industry. The proposed rule is already a direct attack on producer profitability, and now USDA is running down the clock to prevent meaningful input from cattle producers. At issue is the fair and competitive livestock and poultry markets. Proposed rule would define unfair practices as conduct that harms market participants and conduct that harms the market, AMS says. Federal update coming on avian flu response. Federal officials are holding the latest in a series of calls with reporters today to discuss the federal government's efforts to track and control highly pathogenic avian influenza, which continues to spread among dairy herds, poultry flocks, and humans. Colorado, which first reported a case of avian flu at a dairy worker July 3rd, now has confirmed 10 cases, mostly in poultry workers. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service lists a total of 172 infected herds in 13 states since the first herd was reported in Texas in March. A substantial portion of Colorado's dairy industry has been affected, 50 herds, the most of any of the 13 states in which infected dairy cattle have been found. Idaho has reported 29 dairy herds, Michigan 27, including a new herd identified yesterday. Take note, USDA's Agriculture Research Service has released results of a study that said it supports the conclusion that respiratory transmission is not a primary route of infection within farms. The study will be submitted to a peer-reviewed journal. Drone makers, don't ban Chinese-made flying machines. Six agricultural spray drone distributors have formed a new group to oppose proposals that would ban Chinese-manufactured drones in the U.S. The coalition includes drone spray companies, AgriSpray Drones, Bestway Ag Drones, Drone Nerds, HSE, UAV, Pegasus Robotics, and Rentizo. Rentizo estimates the groups collectively represent 80% of the U.S. ag spray drone market, according to a press release. The coalition will back efforts, quote, to create cybersecurity standards and appropriate regulations to protect vital data across all drones, regardless of country of origin. The release says spray drones, quote, are not used for surveying or mapping like imagery drones and do not store any data about what product is being applied, and banning them could come with significant economic risk. Democratic senators want heat dome definition. Five Senate Democrats are urging the National Weather Service to create a federal definition for heat domes. This comes in the wake of events through June and July that were driven by hot air masses becoming trapped in the lower atmosphere, causing record high temperatures. In a letter to the National Weather Service Director Ken Graham, Senators Alex Padilla and LaFonza Butler of California, Chris Van Hollen and Ben Cardin of Maryland, and Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff of Georgia say heat domes represent, quote, grave human threat amid rises in heat-related deaths that, quote, require a precise definition that can be universally applied across federal agencies. Around 2,302 heat-related deaths occurred in 2023, the lawmakers say, citing Department of Health and Human Services data. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 30th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Alley.